All right, take your Bible today. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Beginning of verse 12. Let's stand and read God's word tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 10, beginning at verse 12. Everybody likes to have a job description. Well, some people do. It's nice to have a job description. It's nice to know what you're expected to do. Everybody likes to know what they're expected of. Everybody gains security when they know that they are doing what they're supposed to do. And God tells us precisely, without question, what He expects us to do in the Word of God. And that's why it's so important for us to know the Bible. We ought to know it from cover to cover. One old guy said, I ought to know it from generation to revolutions, amen. But we ought to know the Bible from cover to cover. And that we'd study it, we'd understand it, and that God had certainly... You know, there's not too much in the Bible I don't understand. There's a lot in the Bible that kind of convicts me, but there's not a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. There's some people that say, well, I don't understand that. Well, I don't understand that. Well, why? Just read it. What does the text say? What does it tell you to do? What does it tell you not to do? That's pretty good. Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. What don't you understand about that? Well, she puts in and says, well, you're not supposed to even touch it. God didn't say that. He just said, hey, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So if you eat that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. What don't you understand about that? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What you don't understand about that? The Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. What's so hard about that? Amen? So tonight, I want to give you some scripture here. I think it'll help you along your pathway down this old world. It's a pretty tough world that we're living in. It's rough. It's mean. It's sarcastic. It's just downright rude. A lot of things going on in this world. Sometimes we hang our head in shame to think that somebody would do something like that or say something like that. And it causes us a great pain in our lives. And also, when we're raising our children, we don't want our children to go that way. We want our children to grow the straight and narrow. So this is what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Y'all understand right now, right? He's talking to the children of Israel and says, hey, this is what God requires you to do. This is what He expects of you. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord, and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Let's pray. Father, I pray You'd help us tonight as we look into the Word of God, that it'd be enlighten us, help us to be raised and swift to hear and also to accept in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are taught that it is our duty to practice these biblical laws in our life. One, first of all, we're supposed to fear God. Fear God is not being that He's going to come down and crunch us. It's the idea that we don't want to do anything that would hurt the ministry of God. We don't want to do anything that would hurt God's ministry. We don't want to do anything that would embarrass God's ministry or God Himself. And so we should fear the God. Secondly, we are taught that it is our duty in our principles, in our practice, in our life, to love Him, literally, to delight in our communion with Him. Years ago, in fact, I was just telling this to my wife, but 50 years ago, I met my wife. I was a football player in college, and she was a little high school senior. And my friend, who was a tackle on our team, he told me about this cute little preacher's daughter over in Wells, Minnesota, at the Calvary Baptist Church. And he said, man, y'all go over and meet her. He said, I think that you'd think she's pretty cute. And so we made an arrangement and went over there. And sure enough, here she's playing the piano. She's 17 years old. Her daddy's the pastor. And somehow we got to talk, and that afternoon after I left to go back to the college, she told her sister, I'll bet you a stick of bubblegum I'll marry that guy. That's what I'm worth, you know. But anyway. But I didn't see her for a while. And then all of a sudden, here she comes walking down the hall, walking down the sidewalk. I'm up in Pillsbury Hall in second floor looking out the window. And here she comes. I open the window. By the way, there is a rule book in the rules now that nobody can yell out the windows of college dorm. But anyway, I hollered out and said, "Hey, what you doing?" She said, "I'm here. My daddy's going to preach in chapel today." I said, "Hey!" I said, What are you doing right now?" "Nothing." I said, "You want to go to class with me?" Boy, you talk about bold. I met her once. And she said, "Sure." It was all over. And so I took her to class, introduced her, and then I saw her one more time at graduation, and then I came back to play football the next year, and there she was. And all of a sudden, we started dating at Halloween day. I dated her. We went on the first date, and I began to like her a lot. I told my dad I loved her, and he said, you don't love her. He said, "You're in like with her, but you don't love her. You don't understand anything about love yet, son." He was so true. He was so true. I sure liked her. I liked how she smelled. I liked how she dressed. I liked how she'd twinkle her eyes at me and smile. I liked her talking to me. Hoo, 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 hoo. And I delighted in her. I began to delight in her. Today, she is the greatest delight in my life. I cannot tell you what that little girl means to me. And so anyway, the Bible said that's our desire, is that we would delight in the communion with the Lord. In other words, we're so excited about talking to Jesus in the morning when we get up. And we're so excited to talk to him when things are happening, going, that we delight in the communion. Third, we are taught that is a duty. It is our duty to God in principles and practice to walk by the example that Jesus Christ set forth to us while he was here among men. It's our responsibility to walk like Jesus Christ. He commands us. That is a law that he gives us. He says that is our duty, that we would walk like Jesus Christ. And well, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I certainly fail at that a lot. I really fail at that, walking like Jesus. Yesterday, I was coming out of dropping one of the kids off with his mama from soul winning, and I was pulling out of Target, and I noticed this young lady that had a cardboard sign that said homeless. And I was too in a hurry to get back to take care of my wife. If Jesus would have, I said when I came out of there and drove by, I said, "What would Jesus do?" We're to walk like Jesus walked. We're to forgive like Jesus forgave. We're to talk like Jesus talked. We're to emulate the way that Jesus was around different people. Amen. Fourth, we must serve him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. That's God said. I tell my wife all the time, "I love you, baby, with all my heart, with all my soul, all my mind." But I stole that from the Bible. Amen. Because that's what I'm supposed to do to Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 43, verse 7, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." You see, there's so many people today in this world, they are so stuck in themselves. They think that the universe completely circles around them. God said, I made you, I formed you for me. God said, "You are what I made for me." I was telling some folks about the excitement I had when I went into the Nassau thing in the internet, and I was looking at the Hubble telescope, and they got some magnificent pictures that the Hubble telescope has taken. And the commentary on the sidebar said that these have never been seen before by human eyes. Incredible stuff. I don't know about you, but I like fireworks. I like things blowing up. I like it. Boom, I like to feel that stuff. That's just something about it, you know. I mean, that's just the guy in me, all right? I mean, when it goes off, man, I'm just tickled to death. And I was reading this, and I was looking at this beautiful picture, and they had this explosion going on in the universe. And you and I can't see it. We can't even see it with the telescope. You can't even go down to an observatory and look at it because it's so far away into outer space. So who is that for? God loves fireworks. The Bible says we are made in His image and His likeness. God makes a lot of big bangs. What's wrong with thunder and lightning? Amen, huh? But no. When I was a little boy, I was so excited when it thunder and lightning. You know why? Because I was a farm boy. That means we got to go into town. Didn't have to hold beans. Amen. Man, when it starts thunder and lightning, I'm happy. Amen. So God has created His universe for Himself. And by the way, He's created every one of you for Himself. Isaiah 43:7, put it in your Bible, right in the back of your Bible, 43:7, Isaiah, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So He tells us that we must serve Him because with our heart and our soul, our mind, because we are His. We didn't make Him. He made us. For His pleasure. It's also true that when we do His service cheerfully and with goodwill, it becomes a joy to serve Jesus. Jesus makes it worth it. We must keep His commandments. There is the true honor and pleasure of obedience, of doing what God tells you to do. There's nothing that makes a daddy more happy than when he tells his child to do something, he goes and does it. Without complaint, without hesitation, just goes and does it. Some of us have to encourage them a little bit. But sometimes, which after we pick ourselves up off the floor, they've done something what we asked them to do. And that's incredible. Can you think what it must be for a Heavenly Father when God says, go do something, and He knows it's, by the way, He knows it's difficult for you. He knows it's going to be hard for you. My dad used to say, son, if I didn't think you could do it, would I ask you to do it? If I thought this was very dangerous and you'd get hurt, I wouldn't let you do it. You're my only son. Boy, I'm going to take good care of you. I'm going to watch over you and I'm going to make sure that this never happens to you, but I'll be there. You heard me tell the story about the time I was out feeding the cattle, and we had this great big manger, this big feeder bunker, and we would throw the hay down from the top, and I'd get in there and bust the bales up, my dad had just bought a bunch of new cattle, and they were calving, and really didn't know too much about these cows. All cows have different attitudes about them. I'll just tell you that much, There's one that had a bad attitude that day. She had just had her calf. Well, what do you expect, you know? Have a 30-pound calf, I'd get mad too. But anyway, this little calf was down by the bunker there, he's the cutest little thing. His little shiny black shiny nose guy, and I reached over and went to touch it, and he went meh. And all of a sudden, I heard it. And this cow had this old heifer. She had great big old horns out there. And brother, I'll tell you what, she won't commence to get into the bunker with me. Now there's only room for me and her, either us, and I didn't want to be in there with her. And she was throwing her horns, bowing, what would you say, real nice. It was just spittle, I guess. I was going to say snot, but that wouldn't sound very nice. But that's what it was, her eyeball. You ever see that cartoon where that bull gets his eyeball just bogging out and they're red, you know, and the steam's coming out their nose? Brother, that was his twin, amen. Man, she comes screaming at me. I'm telling you what, I jumped and I grabbed hold of the haymow and I pulled myself up and she could just about hit my feet. And I was so scared I couldn't yell. My dad was just around the corner. But I said, nah! He come around there and he see what happened. He grabbed that old fork and with the other end just beat her a couple times and she took off running. Let me tell you about my daddy. The next day, he loaded her up in the truck and said, son, I'm not going to have anything like that on our farm to hurt you. Who do you think that did for me? Yeah, my dad really does love me, amen. I think he's getting a lot of work out of me, and that's why he did it. So anyway, didn't want to get hurt. Let me give you the song. There's joy in serving Jesus. There's joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way. Joy that fills my heart with praise every hour, every day. There's joy in serving Jesus, joy that triumphs over pain. Joy my heart with heaven's music till I join the glad refrain. There is joy in serving Jesus as I walk alone with God. 'Tis the joy of Christ my Savior who hath path the suffering trod. There is joy in serving Jesus, joy amid the darkest night. And those nights will come. I just got a book. I don't know who the guy, this doctor wrote a book about his wife who has Alzheimer's. She was a brilliant lady, graduated from Harvard, and also graduated with her PhD in English at Princeton. One of the top ladies that ever graduated from Princeton. She taught in a university, brilliant lady. And all of a sudden, she realized that something was going on. She went to the doctor. She did not tell her husband. She started having the doctor medicate her for Alzheimer's. She said, I can't have Alzheimer's. I'm one of the smartest women in the world. Which she was. And all of a sudden, it started hitting her. They went in, did the CAT scan, saw the tangling of the nerves, how it goes. And if anybody around, I know Rosalie's been around that. Pretty rough stuff. Anyway, he wrote a book. I don't know how he got my name, but he wrote me a real nice letter. And he said, I know you're going through some things, and I just thought maybe you'd like my book. I got through the first page, and I couldn't keep from weeping, knowing what he had went through. I wrote him a letter. I says, you know, I said, first of all, I want you to know that I shed tears for you on that first page, but I said I'm kind of selfish. I was shedding some tears for me. There's dark hours going to come in our lives. Y'all know that, right? There's things you don't understand. There's things that come up to us that we just don't think we can take it. But God promised me that He'll never take me through something He will not provide for me. And God promised me that He will get me through this thing. I know Mrs. Hamilton's going through some pretty rugged stuff right now, and some of the other folks are going through stuff. I know Rachel goes through some pretty rugged stuff. I know some of y'all people are having some tough times in life. But let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven that says, hey, lay your burdens on me. Let me help you in this. Let me let you know that nothing happens to you that the Father doesn't already know about it before. And secondly, He will not put us through some stuff that we cannot withstand or provide a way of an escape. Or He'll also say, hey, just leave it to me. I don't know about you, but I've read Job many times, and I think of Job, and I wonder how in the world he ever made it through that. But I'm sure glad he did, because I've got a book I can go to and look at, Jim. I got a book I can go and read and say, here's a man that lost everything. I haven't lost everything. I still got my wife. I know she's like a little two-year-old. I understand it. She's like having a little granddaughter in my home. I know I can't leave her at any moment of any time, or she'll just walk out, or she'll cut herself or burn herself on the stove. I understand that. I'm on six-ring alert all the time with her. I'm on code red with her all the time. I'm always watching what's going on, you know. But there's joy in serving Jesus, joy amid the darkest night. For I've learned the wondrous secret, and I'm walking in the light. There's joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus, joy that throbs within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I draw, here's the kicker right here, from His power. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. You got to draw from God's power. There is joy, joy, joy that never shall depart. We must give God honor to God, and to Him we must cleave. And one who we love and delight in, trust in, and from whom we have great expectations. God said, Hebrews 6:10, that He is not unrighteous to forget those who have labored in love. He won't forget you. When you're doing your stuff for God and you're staying the course and you're being bombarded and all the other kind of crazy stuff going in your life, and all of a sudden the bank says you don't have enough money to pay for that, and so they explain this to me. Why in the world does the bank take, you know, you don't have the money to do it, so they take $28 every time you got a bad check? Explain that to me. Good night, I didn't have it in the first place, stupid. Just thought I'd talk to some of you bankers about that. I thought somebody would say amen. You what?
I can explain it.
Explain it.
Reason behind.
That's okay. All right. It's really having a bully pulpit, amen? I understand it, brother. I understand it real well, amen. It costs you guys a lot of money to get that money back if you can't get it back. But anyway, here's what we are taught in Deuteronomy. It is about the duty that we have towards our neighbor. That is a wonderful gift of God to mankind. He has obligated us to honor our fellow man. You may not think it is a great thing, but think of this. Not only are you to be kind to your neighbor and do unto your neighbors yourself, but he's to be kind to you. I know he doesn't, but anyway, it's supposed to be that way. We have been in distress and have found mercy with God. We should be ready to show kindness to those who are also in distress. Every day I meet people in distress. Every day I meet people in trouble. Every day I meet people that got it worse than I do. Could you say amen to that? Aren't you glad the problem you have and you don't have somebody else's problem? Think it over. My dear friend, Brother Rudy Smith, Pastor Rudy Smith's Mount Sinai Baptist Church, Pickens, South Carolina. He got a hold of me and I got a hold of him. We became buddies. I mean, if Jonathan and David are written about, we ought to be written about. Talk to them every week. For 19 years, he's been taking care of his wife, but his wife can't walk. She's incontinent. She can only see out of her one eye, and that's just very tunnel vision. She's in a wheelchair, and she's large. I just thank God what God has given me. Mine can walk. Mine can eat. Mine doesn't complain at eating or gripe. She makes a few noises in church, but I've been to Brother Rudy's church, and Brother Rudy's wife shouts out scripture and just helps him along. Amen. He said, man, this killed me. Life is life. And God said, you take care of me, and I'll take care of you. You take care of the things I've told you to do, I'll take care of the rest. What a blessing. What a wonderful thing. We who have been in distress and have found mercy with God many times forget to show it to others. In Deuteronomy, we are taught that it is our duty ourselves that we circumcise our heart. In other words, mark our heart and cast away all corrupt affections and inclinations and which hinders us from fearing and loving God. By our own nature, we do not love God. This hatred and dread is brought on us by the original sin, the source where our wickedness comes from, the carnal mind. It's always an enmity against an enemy of God. Natural man is not subject to the laws of God, nor can he be. Listen what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5-9. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnally mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. In other words, he don't understand it. When you're working with people in your world, the place you're working in, and people always have this humanistic thought, and you know, this is what they think about friends. Friends are people that you can use. That's what the world says. Friends are people that you can use. I have friends so that I can use them. That's their whole idea about it. But you're a Christian. I want to do things for my friend that they can't repay me. I want to be there to help them and encourage them. Because that is what God told me to do. That's what God encourages me to do. When I see somebody who's been down and out and needs some help, I want to help them. I want to help them so much that they can't repay me. If you're my friend, you'll always be my friend. I don't care what you do to me, how mean you are to me, curse me out, cuss me out, whatever you want, but I'm still going to be your friend. I'm still going to bring you before the Lord. I'm going to ask God to bless you in a great way. I'm going to ask God to do great things in your heart and your life. Friends are, according to God's Word, Jesus was the friend of mankind. And what'd they do to him? They crucified him. They killed him. Put him to death. They hated him because he was so perfect. Isn't this the same God that was healing the sick? Isn't this the same God that was giving eyes to the blind? Isn't that the same God that was giving the man that laid by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years and could not get down to the water and move? And he said, hey, pick up that bed and walk. They saw it. And this is the one that fed them 5,000 and fed the 4,000? And this is the one that stilled the water? And this is the one that spit on the earth and put on that blind man's eyes and he could see? They all saw it. But what? Hey, listen, people are very fickle. You better just check it out right now. The same people that cut down the palm branches and cried, "Hosanna to the highest!" A week later, said, "Crucify him." A week. Didn't take much to change people's mind, right? Good night. A week. A week they're proclaiming him the Messiah. And now they're saying, "Crucify him." It's incredible. So you better be careful. You better be careful out this in the old world, because there are people out there going to use you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to take advantage of you. But you still do what Jesus says. Be kind to them. I remember Jack Iles used to say, "Be kind to everyone you meet, because everybody's having trouble. Everybody's in trouble. Everybody's having a heartache. Everybody's having a sorrow." If I ask everyone today, "Hey, how'd your week go?" I do that at my Sunday school class, and they lie to me every day. "Oh, it was great. All I did is took care of the kids and slept," you know. They don't really tell you what's really going on in their hearts and lives. They don't tell about the day the car didn't start. They didn't tell about the day the kid locked you out of the house. They didn't tell about the day that, you know, you spilled everything all over the floor and it took you so many hours just to clean the stinking mess up. Didn't tell about the glass bowl that broke and a thousand slivers of glass all over the floor. Didn't tell about the time you went to the doctor and they told you something that you weren't expecting them to tell you. But those days do come. But I got a good answer for you. There's a God in heaven that loves you and cares for you. And he won't forget you. If the same God who created this magnificent universe and the billions and quadrillion stars up in this universe of ours, and he said, "I know the number of the stars, and I call them all by name," and then he says, "I know you, I know your name, I know the number of your hair, your head." He said, "I know you're down sitting and you're uprising. I know your thoughts afar off." That means before you even think what you're going to think, God always knows what you're going to think. How'd you like to be a mama like that? "I know what you're going to say, kid." No, you don't. "I knew you were going to say that." It's incredible. Amazing God. So he said, "Well, I don't understand God." You wouldn't be much of a God if you could understand him, amen? There's so many things about God that I have no foggy. But I do know one thing. He loves me. And he cares for me. And he watches over me. And he gives me what I need. And he holds back things that I don't need. The things that I think I need, he said, "Not yet," or "No." Because I'd probably kill myself with it. I drive too fast with it. I get myself in buying something that would keep me out of my church. "Oh, if I could just have that." I was like, "Hey, where are we?" "Oh, we're out snowmobiling up the Miss Church Sunday." "Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll be back next Sunday." Careful, careful, careful. So the Bible says it is our responsibility to trust him. Let's one more time. Let's go over it very quickly. First of all, I'm fear the Lord. Secondly, I'm taught that it is my duty to live in the principles and practice of life. I'm to delight in my communion with my God. That's praying. Or reading my Bible. I'm to delight. Third, I'm taught it's my duty, the principle, the practice, the example in my life like Jesus Christ was example to us. I'm to walk like him. I'm to talk like him. I'm to act like him. Fourth, we're to serve him with all our heart, soul, and our mind. 5th, I'm supposed to do it cheerfully. You ever have a kid? All right, I'll do it. Well, that's a blessing. Yes, you are. Honey, could you? Yeah, I'll get to it just a minute. I know you girls would never do that. Honey, you going to fix the screen door? Good night, I told you I'd fix that screen door. 6 months ago. Don't you laugh, girls, I can tell. We're to keep the commandments. Keep the Word of God, commandments of the Word of God. And we must honor God. To Him, we must cleave to Him as one who loves and delights with someone great expectations. Father, I pray tonight You'd help us to live more like You. Lord, so many times we've just got to the point in our life that we think everything is kind of tight and settling out, and all of a sudden, boom, something else goes on. And the testing and trials of this life just infuriate many people. Lord, help us to delight that we have a God that knows what's going on. And it does not surprise You what has happened. Lord, now speak to our hearts. Lord, if there be anyone here today who's not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, I pray God today would be that day. They say, today, I want that God to be my Savior for all He has done, as the preacher preached tonight. That's the kind of God I want on my team. That's the God I want for me. I need a God that loves me. I need a God that I can come, and when troubles come and hurts come, I come to Him and say, God, I need You. I need You like I've never needed anything else in the world. If you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you cry out to God tonight and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me my sins. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Right here, right now. Father, I pray You'd speak now. Holy Spirit, do Your work. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This is what we call the invitation time. We invite you to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people do it where they're sitting. Some people walk down the aisle, meet me up front and say, preacher, tonight this is what God's doing in my heart and my life. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then I'll ask everyone to stand with your head bowed and eyes closed. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you have a home in heaven, oh my, I'd love to show you that. That's a wonderful thing to know for sure. If you died today, you go to heaven. What a great opportunity that is to know that you're going to heaven. Simple as that. I invite you to come down and meet me up front. I'll come down and I'll meet you. Maybe here tonight you say, preacher, you know, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's Baptism. I want to do that. Hey, we'd love to help you to do that tonight too. Then maybe you're here looking for a church, looking for a place to meet. We'd sure love you to be a part of this church. Father, I pray You'd be with us now as we have this invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask everyone to stand. If you're here today and someone walked up to you and said, hey, can I ask you a question? If you died right now, would you go to heaven or not? And your answer would be, I'm not sure. Hey, I'd like to show you from the Bible how you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Just step out of that seat, walk down this aisle. You've seen it on TV and the invitation time when an evangelist preach, invite people. We just do the same thing. This is old country church. That's all this is. We want to be a help to you. We want to encourage you. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from the Bible. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady show you from the Word of God. If you're a man, we'll have a man show you. We're very careful about that. Won't you come to Jesus tonight? Jesus has His arms wide open and says, please come to me. All ye that labor and heavy laden, come unto me, for I'll give you rest. That's what He says. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's Baptism. Won't you come at this time and take care of that? Maybe you're here tonight and say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where God has really struck our heart to be part of." Again, you hear today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come? Let me show you from the Bible how you can know for sure. Do you know for sure? Are you positive of that? Boy, that's the most important thing you'll ever do in your life." I was 14 years old when I got saved. Praise the Lord. I was a crazy kid. Troubled. Oh my goodness, all kinds of trouble in my heart and my life. That old preacher preaching right at me. 2,000 kids at that auditorium, but he was preaching right at me. Man, he had that crosshair right on me, and he said, "Hey, boy, this may be the last time God ever gives you a chance to get saved." And when he said that, I said, "I'm going to take care of this today." Saturday morning, 1961, I stepped out, a 14-year-old boy stepped out of that, ran down the aisle. The preacher said, "What you doing?" I said, "Man, I got to get saved." He said, "Son, I got somebody to show you how to do that." I haven't lost that. And someday, when you read my name in the obituary in the Great Falls Tribune, and it says I'm dead, you just tell that. You tell him, "No, he's not. He's alive and well. He's never been so alive in his whole life. He's in heaven today with his Heavenly Father." It's the greatest day of your life to know that. Are you saved? If not, come. Are you right with God? God speaking to your heart, speaking to your life. Hey, we want to be a help to you. Father in heaven, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the Word of God. Oh my, that scripture in Deuteronomy, that's a tremendous portion of scripture. Lord, help us love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Lord, help us to serve you with gladness. Help us to be more like you. Help us walk like you. Help us delight as we come and speak to you, as we pray to you, and we read the Word of God as you speak to us. May this be a great time, Lord. Help us now, Lord, as we go over to building number 2 and have a little meal over there. Lord, I pray you'd bless the food. And thank you for all those that provided for it. And then, Lord God, I pray for tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. We get together, Lord God, and clean out some things that need to be taken care of. Help us to do that and give us safety. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.